Welcome to this lesson on building a blueprint for an 808 tail using macro controls creatively in Ableton Live 12 for jungle and old school DNB vibes. Now, before we start, I want you to think of the 808 tail as more than just the end of a kick drum. In drum and bass, especially jungle flavored and old school inspired DNB, that tail can act like a low end answer to the breakbeat. It can glue the groove together, add momentum between snare hits, and give you that big rolling pressure without turning the mix into mud. The real goal here is flexibility. We are not just making one kick sound. We are building a rack that can move from tight and punchy, to dark and worn, to long and rumbly, all from a few macro knobs. That means you can perform the low end like an instrument, instead of getting stuck drawing automation all day. So let's build this step by step. Start by choosing a good 808 source. You want a kick sample with a solid low fundamental and a tail that already has some life in it. For this style, avoid super clicky trap style 808s unless you specifically want a hybrid sound. A good target is something with a fundamental around 45 to 60 Hz and a tail that lasts somewhere around 150 to 400 milliseconds. That gives you something musical to shape instead of trying to force a thin sample to become huge. Load that 808 into a drum rack on a MIDI track and sequence a simple one-bar pattern. Keep it simple at first. Just put a kick on the downbeat so you can hear what the tail is really doing. That's important, because with low end, solid sound can lie to you. A kick that sounds massive by itself might be wrecking your groove once the break comes in. Now build the chord chain inside the rack. A good starting chain is drum bus, then saturator, then EQ8. Drum bus gives you controlled weight and some transient shaping. Start with drive somewhere in the 5 to 15% range. Keep boom subtle at first, because it is very easy to overdo it in DNB. Use transients to help the kick cut through the break. If the hit feels too spiky, ease that back a bit. If it feels too soft, give it more attack. Then use saturator for harmonic grit. A few decibels of drive can make a big difference here. You are not trying to destroy the kick. You are trying to give it enough edge and density, so the tail still reads clearly when the full break is playing. After that, use EQ8 to clean up the body of the sound. A small cut around 200 to 400 Hz can help if the tail is clouding the groove. That range often gets boxy fast when you start adding saturation and length. Be careful with the lows too. You want weight, not swamp. Next, shape the sample itself. If you are using simpler, switch to a mode that behaves well for one-shot kick control, and trim the attack or release if needed. Remove clicks with a small fade or release, maybe around 20 to 80 milliseconds depending on the sample. If the tail is already too long, shorten it at the source first. That gives you a cleaner starting point for the rack. Now comes the fun part, macro control. Group your devices into an instrument rack or audio effect rack, and map the important parameters to macros. A strong setup would be macro 1 for tail length, macro 2 for tail pitch, macro 3 for drive, macro 4 for tone, macro 5 for punch. Tail length should control the sample release or fade. And if you want a little output or gain compensation so longer tails feel more held together, tail pitch can be handled by a subtle pitch control, a detuned duplicate layer, or a small frequency shift effect if you want a slightly unstable old-school edge. Drive should control saturator and maybe drum bus drive together. Tone should move your EQ and filter cutoff so the tail can get darker, brighter, or more rounded. Punch should handle drum bus transients and possibly a short compressor response if needed. Keep these ranges musical. That's really important. If the knob goes from useful to broken too fast, narrow the range. In a rack like this, subtle changes matter more than extreme ones. A tiny move can change the whole feel of a drop. Now let's talk about the character of the tail itself. In jungle and old school DNB, pitch movement is a huge part of the vibe. A little pitch drop on the tail can make the kick feel like a sub-event instead of just a transient. You can do this by duplicating the chain and detuning one layer slightly lower, by using transpose in simpler, or by resampling and pitching them audio afterward. The key is restraint. A subtle drop of -1 to -3 semitones can add weight without sounding obvious. If you want a heavier old-school rumble, you might go lower, but be careful not to turn it into a cartoon wobble. Tiny modulation in the range of a few cents can also add instability and movement, which works really well for worn, tapish jungle energy. And this is where the rack starts to become more than a sound. It becomes a performance tool. For example, your short tail setting is perfect for a tight roller section where the breakbeat needs space. Your darker, longer tail setting is great for intro fills and jungle-style transitions. Your dirtier setting can bring pressure right before a switch-up. And your cleanest setting might be the one that sits best under a busy bass line. Now let's make sure the kick and tail behave properly in the full groove. Add a compressor after your shaping chain and sidechain it from the drum bus or the brake. Use a fast attack, somewhere around 1 to 5 milliseconds, and a release that follows the groove, maybe around 60 to 140 milliseconds. That way, the tail can bloom when there is space, but duck out of the way when the brake or snare needs to speak. If you've got a separate sub or reese bass line, check the interaction carefully. The tail should support the bass phrase, not fight it. In many cases, monoing the low end below your crossover point is a smart move. D&B low end needs discipline. Big does not mean wide down there. Big means controlled. Now, once the rack feels good, resample it. This is one of the best moves in the whole process, because resampling turns your design into something you can edit like audio. Record a few bars of different tail behaviors, then drag the audio into a new track. From there, you can slice it, reverse it, trim it, or use specific tails as fills. This is especially useful in jungle and old-school arrangements, where you may want a different tail in the intro, a different one in the drop, and a slightly nastier one before a switch-up. Instead of rebuilding the rack every time, you can just use the printed audio. Now automate the macros across the arrangement. Think in sections. In the intro, keep the tail shorter and darker. Before the drop, lengthen it a little and close down the tone for tension. In the drop, use a moderate tail with controlled drive so it supports the rhythm. In a switch-up, push the pitch drop and saturation a bit harder for extra grit. In a breakdown, pull everything back so the groove can breathe. That is where these macros become musical. They are not just technical controls. They are mood controls. And always test the rack with a full breakbeat. Do not judge it solo. Listen for whether the tail is hiding the low toms, stepping on the snare crack, or filling too much of the pocket between hits. If it clashes, shorten it, darken it, lower the drive, or tighten the compressor release. If it feels too polite, add a little more sustain, a touch more saturation, or a more noticeable pitch fall. A really good practice here is to build three versions of the same rack. One version should be short and punchy for a rolling first drop. One should be medium length, darker and more atmospheric for jungle-style fills. And one should be long and gritty for the last bar before a change. Sequence each one against a breakbeat, automate the macros, and compare them at full mix level. That comparison will teach you a lot more than soloing the kick ever will. If you want to go a level deeper, think in layers. Even if you are working from one sample, imagine that the tail is made of three jobs, a sub-thump, a mid-range growl, and a tiny transient. A great rack helps those jobs move together. That is why good macro design matters. It changes behavior, not just sound. So the big takeaway here is this. In D&B, especially jungle and old-school flavored D&B, the 808 tail should help the groove breathe, push, and answer the break. It should feel like part of the drum arrangement, not a bass line that showed up late and started fighting for space. Build it in a rack, map it with intention, keep the low end disciplined, and resample the best moments so you can use them as arrangement tools. That's the blueprint. Now it's your turn. Build a rack with a tight roller state, a jungle weight state, a rave pressure state, and a final bar impact state. Keep the macro ranges musical, test everything against a break, and aim to switch vibes in seconds without opening the device chain. If you do that, you will have a seriously useful D&B low-end weapon.